Amen. God has been good to us. Yes, the Lord has blessed us mightily. Amen. I'm so thankful to God. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor,
I've come to praise the Lord.
And neighbor,
if you can't help
me, please don't hinder me. Amen. Come on, let's praise him once again by the lifting of our hands. Come on, let's lift our hands unto the Lord. Oh, just lift your hands unto the Lord and feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Just lift your hands unto the Lord, saints. Just lift your hands. Feel the anointing of the Lord in this place. Father, even right now, we come before you with our hands lifted up to receive the fresh anointing that we might worship you today. We come to receive it today in spirit and in truth. We come to bow down before you. We come to take off our golden crown. We come to take off our facade. We come to expose ourselves so that you might bless us in a new way. We come to hear a word from the Lord. We come, Lord, to tell you thank you that it's as well as it is. We come this hour because we love you so much. And we lift up our hands in adoration. We lift our hands in praise. And we just want you to know, God, that we recognize that you're an awesome God in this place. We recognize the Holy Spirit in this place, and we say thank you. We say glory. We say hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord in this place. Bless the Lord in this place. Bless the Lord in this place. Amen. Let us say together our call to worship that can be found there in the front portion of the church bulletin of the day. We thank God for each and every one of you on this ninth day of January, the second Sunday in the year of our Lord. We thank you for your presence in God's house. The Lord is pleased that we are here to worship him. Let us say together, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us remain standing together in the presence of the Lord. Our choir is going to lead us in the praise and our opening selection, and we pray to God that you will praise him in a more excellent way. The more you give, the more he'll give to you. Sing it, choir. The Lord is always there for me. Has the Lord always been there for you? Every time I need a blessing, every time I need a breakthrough, every time I'm down and need deliverance, every time I'm out and can't get in, every time I need him, he's always there for me. I am thankful to God. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed in reverence to the Lord, that we might pray together the inviting of his spirit into this place. Precious God, we've come together in this place. The spirit of unity is in this place. We've come setting aside every weight that will hinder us and cause us to lose our way. We've come this morning steadfast and unmovable, desiring to always abound in the Lord. We seek after your more excellent way. Would you forgive us of our sins and have mercy upon us? Would you cause our feet to be established in this place? Would you cleanse our hearts, our minds, our bodies from all unrighteousness? Would you purge us? Would you again allow us to position ourselves at the foot of Calvary as your blood comes streaming down? Precious God, would you let some drops fall on us? Precious God, would you again provide for us water from the wellspring of life? Some, Lord, have come thirsty, parched from the journey. We're tired. But we seek a place. We seek a place that is eternal and everlasting. We seek this morning to feel your touch again. Would you allow the wings of angels just to brush over us? Would you speak to us in that voice that we know is yours and that of none other? Someone declared unto us that you were awesome. Lord, we cannot remember right now the first time we heard about you, but we're so glad that you've been from everlasting to everlasting. You were grandmama's God when her back was bent over in the heat of the day. You were grandpa's God when he worked from sunup to sundown. You were mama's God when she was in delivery, labor, pressing, trying to bring us through. You are daddy's God when he chastised us, trying to make us better. Now, Lord, we stand in this place. We come because we desire to be here. And now we petition that you would be our God. God, move in this place. Allow us again to declare the words of life. Our neighbors are standing with us. Come in this place. Let your glory just hover in this place. Deliverance in this place. My God, we thank you so much. Come, Lord Jesus, in spite of the difficulties of this day, in spite of what we do not know. Who can know what lies on tomorrow? But as for this day, we're going to praise our God. This moment, we're going to lift up our hands and lift up our praises unto our God. Lord, I'm so thankful for the movement in this place. You said to us that we were a chosen people. You said that if we seek after you, that you will be found. We've come to this garden experience at the early hour. Let it be so, God, that you will dwell here with us in the precious name of Jesus. Oh, how we wait your appearing. How we so greatly anticipate your arrival. We're throwing our palm branches even right now. We're releasing our cloaks. Come, Lord Jesus. We need you right now. Somebody needs you. Somebody came this morning seeking the anointing. Somebody came seeking your forgiveness. Somebody came needing your embrace. Would you just put your arms around? Somebody crawled in the house. Somebody just didn't make it this morning. Somebody tried everything else, but now they're going to try Jesus. Come through, Lord Jesus. Come through, Lord Jesus. Everything else has failed. Everybody else has turned their backs. For God's sake, now don't leave us. Thank you, God. Hear our prayer. Hear our praise. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, how awesome is that name. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. In the name of Jesus. Can you say that with me? Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how I love to call your name. God, hear our prayer. Bless you. Yeah. Hallelujah. It just won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Say it won't work. God will do what he said he'll do. Nothing is worth. He will come through. God, what he said he'll do, will stand by his word. He will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. At the devil and tell him, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. Just put your foot down on him and tell him it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Oh, you're a liar in the name of Jesus. It won't work. Come on, lift up your voices. You can tell him. You can tell him. You got the right to tell him. It's not going to work. It might have worked before, but it's not going to work.
Me shall prosper. It won't work.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Put your arm around somebody and tell them that God's going to stand by his word. Amen. Amen. Come on, come on. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Amen. Tell them God's going to stand by his word. Amen. Hug somebody. Hug somebody. Oh, my God. Yes, he has. If you need your miracle. The 8th chapter. You can just be starting, and God can say, that's enough, it's over. Amen. Right now, the miracle of God is available. I feel the presence. God, I know you're in this place. The ministry of music has brought about a spirit of need and recognition. You said that you would supply all of our need according to your riches that are everlasting in glory. My spirit says to me, Lord, that there are persons in this house standing around this altar and in their pews that have been waiting for a breakthrough. See, Lord, we recognize right now, and you said to me that, Mitchell, let them know that it doesn't have to be devastating. Some of you are praying for the breakthrough of this church. Some of you have just been praying for a closer walk. You've been praying that the spirit of revelation would be shared with you. You want to see, just as you've read, you want to know for yourself. And God is saying to you right now that it's time. God, would you touch, heal, and deliver? That we would be able, Lord, to get a glimpse of your glory. Even our praise team this morning, Lord, I can see now the coming together of worship. They reminded us that you're our healer. You're our provider, and we praise you for that. Somebody today, Lord, needs a special fixing today. Grandma used to call it a fixing up. Lord, a fixing up is in order. My mind and my soul, my body is tired. I've been racing and racing, and now, Lord, I'm tired. I've been reading and meditating. I've been fasting and praying. I've been anointed. My friends and fellows, my kin and kindred have gathered with me in prayer. And the spirit of unity is in here. And your word said that when we all came together, each one reaching and touching and agreeing, and you said that there would be a moving and a shaking and a stirring in this place. God, would you tremble the walls again? Would you rattle the rafters again? Would you cause our feet to be established again? We don't want to just hear about you. We want to see you. Come, Lord Jesus, in this place. We need a miracle. Somebody's on a sick bed. We need a miracle. Somebody's waiting on the other shoe to drop. We need a miracle. Somebody's at the mercy of their enemies. We need a miracle. Somebody's doing good right now, but tomorrow something different's going to happen. We need a miracle. Somebody's been told that the prognosis is problematic. But Lord, you know what? You are God who has the last word. Satan, you're a liar. You got to back up and get. Matter of fact, we're going to stomp on you right now. We're just going to stomp on you right now. Get under our feet. Get out of our church. Get out of our marriage. Get out of our job. Get out of our children. Get out of our wives. Get out of our husband. Get out of our business. God, you gave us a miracle. Yeah, you thought that we were going down, but we were just gaining our strength. You thought we were getting out of the game. We were just getting refreshed. Hallelujah. To that mother who's concerned about her son, God told me to tell you it's going to be all right. You know what, mama? You can sleep good tonight. Because God said he's going to make it all right. Somebody's got to go down to the hospital. You don't want to go, but you know the Lord says go. I feel you right now. I know. You're thinking, how does the pastor know? Who told him? Ain't nobody told me but the Lord. You don't even have to raise your hand. You don't even have to tell me who you are. Lord, thank you so much for hearing our prayer. Somebody today, you're looking for a church home. I hear you. Yeah, the Lord said to come on. You're in the right place. You've been wondering, am I in the right place? You've been trying to find a place. Yeah, I'm not trying to pad my own coffers. It ain't about me anyway. But I just want you to know that the Lord heard your prayer. He said, seek me, and I'll reveal myself to you. The devil's been trying to make you think God is smoke and vapor. He's just a mystery, but he's real. He's as real as you standing in his place. Thank you, God. We receive our healing. We receive our blessing. We receive our unity, our strength. We know that no weapon. God, you stood by your word. Now you stand with us in your word. We pray unto you right now. Would the believers of God just lift up their hands? Lord, our hands are lifted up now to receive. Our hands are lifted up to receive. But also, Lord, they're lifted up to release. Yes. We're releasing it right now. And as it goes out, new blessings are coming in. We receive. We release. And we receive. We declare victory right now at the receiving of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of God. Because you have this anointing, fear no more. Tremble no more. The boldness of God is yours. As you receive it, would you shout amen?
Amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Encourage somebody on your way back to your seat. Thank you. We encourage you. We encourage you. Be encouraged. God has made it all right. God has made it all And we're praying together. Precious God, we thank you now for the moment of preaching has arrived. And we thank you now, Lord, that you are pleased with us in this place. Now, Lord, would you again invest in us preaching power? That you would hide me, Lord, in the shadows of the cross. Give me, Lord, that which is needful for this time. As humbly, Lord, as I know how, I seek your way. I seek your power to know your forgiveness and your mercy, but to know you as God. You saved us and you brought us to this place. And I ask God that you would speak to me and through me as the voice of one crying in the wilderness of life. Make straight the way, prepare for him as he comes, that they will know you as Jesus, Lord and Savior. Would you deliver us from evil? And God, I pray that you would better prepare me than I could even prepare myself. That whatsoever, Lord, they have come desiring today, that you would give it unto them, that they might have life. In the precious name of Jesus, let the redeemed of the Lord say amen,
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 and amen.
Amen.
Look in the Word of God today from the 2 Corinthian letter, the 12th chapter. It is a very familiar and yet powerful text of great possibility and promise. 2 Corinthian letter, 12th chapter, and would look with us at the 9th verse of the 12th chapter. In the American Revised Standard, I will read the Word of God, and we certainly encourage you to come along with your preferred version of reading. And the Bible declares it, the 9th verse of the 2 Corinthian letter, chapter 12, and he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." God bless you. You may be seated. Would you do me a favor this morning and put a smile on your face and look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor."
Neighbor.
Oh, y'all whispering now.
Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Pastor's going to preach.
It's not what's wrong with me.
It's not what's wrong with me.
It's what's in me.
It's what's in me.
Amen. It's not what's wrong with me. It's what's in me. Pastor Paul would bring to our attention today the reality of humanity, in that every person in the house has a weakness. Amen. Every person in the house has a fault or an infirmity. And what he would remind us is that, yes, certainly, Lord, I'm concerned about my cataclysmic experiences. I'm concerned about devastating things in my life, but I'm also convinced that because of what's wrong with me, you can do more with me. Are you listening to me? Paul says that we must understand that the reality of it is that for nearly 2,000 years, our trade, our stock has been in the fact that Jesus is greater than we are. Paul reminds us that the fact of the matter is that certainly the Lord is able to do anything but fail. Isn't it good to know that even with the worst of us, God can still bring out the best in us? Thank you, Lord. Even when you have messed up beyond your own ability to recognize yourself, when you are out of your own mind, it's good to know that God can still regulate and restore. Paul reminds us that we are living in what has become a sin-cursed world. We are living in a place where evil is at every turn and opportunity is always knocking on your door. And sometimes you would rather have had a change of address than to have to face the evil opportunity. Sometimes we just choose bad. Amen. Sometimes you would intend to do well. That's why he says, and when I intended to do good, evil showed up. When I thought it was right, it turned out wrong. But thanks be unto God. That is not what's wrong with me that you ought to focus on, but it is what dwells within me. Paul said that first of all, you must understand that there are still possibilities. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him there are possibilities. Yes, there are possibilities, because what he says to us, he said, listen, and he said unto me. I want to tell somebody right now that no matter what happens in your life, as long as God is still talking to you, help me somebody, as long as you can still hear that voice, you still got possibilities. Yes, Lord, baby, you got problems. You got a whole lot of problems, but with God, problems are just opportunities of possibility. Say amen, somebody. Yes, Lord. He said, listen, I'm so glad that the Lord will still conversate with me. Yes, amen. You do know some folk talk to you just so they can have more information to talk about. Hello, lights. Yeah, everybody that come to your aid, everybody that's sitting on your nightstand, everybody that's on your front porch, sitting there having you to unroll your problem at and sitting there saying, go ahead, and you didn't need somebody to talk to. Listen, you need to have a little talk with Jesus. Amen. Sometimes folks just seeking more information so that they might better be able to destroy. Sometimes when you let folk know what your weaknesses are, they will expose you for your weakness. You know, they find out, you know, somebody said that Reverend, I just don't like talking so-and-so because she seemed to know how to push my buttons. Well, I'm here to tell you should have never let her know where the buttons were. Amen. Because if you don't show them where the buttons are, they wouldn't have nothing to push. Amen. And then what he said is there are possibilities, Reverend. He said, because the Lord speaks to me, and because he conversates with me, I am convinced, because Jesus demonstrated for us there is a necessity to stay in constant communication with God. Listen to me. Get off that phone. Stop emailing folk. Talking about what's wrong and giving them all your problems. Like, help me somebody. No, no, no. Get off the line and get off. Ain't gonna take long, but listen. I'm not upset about internet. I don't have no problem with phones. My daughter, one of the things she wanted for Christmas was a cordless phone. And I told my wife the other day, when we find her dead, that phone will be stuck to the side of her face. She all in the kitchen, washing dishes with elbows in one hand. Won't put the phone down. It yackety, 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 yackety. And I'm saying, you know, it's funny, when I answer the phone, nobody never say nothing. How you gonna call my house and won't talk to me? But anyway, you know, I don't have a problem with her on the phone, but I have a problem when we would rather talk to other folk than talk to the Lord. Are you with me? I'm convinced that if some of y'all spent more time talking to the Lord and less time with Bell Atlantic, less time in the laundromat and the food line, you'd have been way down the road in your spiritual journey. Oh, you might as well say amen. You know Pastor right about it. I'm telling you now that Paul said that he said unto me, not only does he conversate, but he also consoles. Yes, Lord, Paul had a problem. He was hurt deep. He was in trouble. Some of y'all don't ever want to admit that you're hurting, that you're in trouble, but the conversation and the consolation go together. Because when the Lord talks to you, you must understand that he's trying to encourage you. You know, you're trying to be shame and bashful. You don't want to go for the Lord in that condition. God already know what condition you in. Amen. How you going to surprise God? How can you show up as if God don't know what's going on? That you informing God of what's going on. No, the Lord already knows. But what he said is, listen, let me talk to you about this thing. Look at the name and tell him he want to talk to you. Amen. Amen. Look at the other name and tell him God's got a moment for your time. Amen. I didn't say a moment of, I said a moment for. Notice what I said. Did somebody think he said it wrong? No. I'm telling you that you must understand that the Lord desires to talk to you about it. Amen. He said, listen, because I'm coming to tell you that when you talk about it, you can relieve yourself. So many of us carry stuff. You're carrying around hurts and you're carrying around injustices and disappointments and folk have let you down. And you're walking around there worried and you're looking in the mirror of life and you don't like what you see. God said, listen, come talk to me. He said, because in the midst of the conversation, I'm going to console you so that you will understand that I still love you. Amen. I want you to know that I still love you, because what you have to understand is that I said in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, the Bible said that the grace of God was not without effect in my life. In other words, it meant something. It did something to me to know that after I talked with God, I felt better. You know, bitterness will make your breath bad. Amen. When you're bitter, you nobody won't talk to you. Amen. You know, God, getting up in the morning, going talking to folk and ain't brush your teeth. Yeah, bitterness. And let me tell you, the Bible says that the grace of God was not without effect. In other words, what grace does? One of the things that grace does, it teaches you how to forgive other folk. Oh, help me somebody. The effect that it has is that Paul would remind us that because God conversated and consoled me, it taught me how to be concerned about other folk. Amen. It taught me that if the God of my salvation was to forgive me, I've got to learn to let grace be effective in other folk's lives through me. Oh, help me somebody. Can you imagine, beloved of God, how awesome it would be for us to learn how to embrace those that have been broken, how to lift up those that have been cast down. Yeah, it's a bad thing when you're down, other folk come along and then want to kick you. Amen. You know, and I'm telling you now that too many of us have a kick him while he down mentality. Yeah, when they're down, instead of saying, listen, get off him and leave him alone, he's had enough. Some of us come by and think, yeah, I always want to get you anyway. Yeah, I was waiting on you. And you know, it's too many times folk are just sitting around waiting on you to go down. Oh, help me somebody. He said that it was able to cause me to be concerned about others. And then the other thing that he said is, he goes on a little further in the text. Notice what this says. After the Lord speaks to him, he said that my power is perfected in the fact that you are struggling. Some of y'all think that God gets more glory out of your victories. Let me tell you something. God gets the most glory out of your defeats. Oh, help me somebody. See, some of y'all don't ever want to lose. Oh, you know I'm right about it. Some of y'all sitting there looking at me now saying, no, Rev, don't go there. You don't ever want to lose, but the Lord says that my power is even more effective when you lose. When you're weak, when you fail, then I succeed. Oh, help me somebody. You got to readjust your Christian ethics now. You got to readjust to the point where you think that every time you got over, that was something to get glory out of. But God said, listen, when your weaknesses were revealed, when they found the weakness, when you found out that you weren't able to do this all by yourself, because you know, some of us, the greater successes we have, the less God we got in our lives. The further out we get, the less time we spend with God. Oh, help me somebody. We become casual in our commitment. The more we are successful, every time we're able to step on the devil, and every time we're able to sidestep another threat, every time we're able to escape by the skin of our teeth, we get more and more complacent in the relationship. But what God said is, I never intended for you to be that successful to the point that you would forget to acknowledge me in every aspect of your life. That's why he said, in all your ways acknowledge him. He said that you must remember, I am the Lord your God. And it's the fact of the matter is that when you were weak, that's when you discovered, God was strong. You've been around here now bragging and boasting about, I ain't had a drink in 5 years. Let me tell you something, your next drink is waiting for you tomorrow if you ain't careful. Bragging and boasting about how you got delivered and how you have been clean and how you have been in the church every Sunday without fail and how you've been in choir rehearsal and how you've kept your commitment. But let me tell you something, there is an opportunity knocking at your door. God said that the way you find out how awesome I really am is when you discover and are honest enough to admit how weak you really are. He said that I want you to understand, Paul, and I want you to tell other folk that my desire has never been to hurt you. No, I've never looked at you and set you up for a failure. He said, but I cannot afford for you to become arrogant in your faith. I can't afford for you to become haughty. I can't afford for you to become so proud that when you walk into church, you squeak like dawn. I can't afford that out of you. I need you to stay in a place of humility. I need every now and then for you to have your eyes downcast so that you will recognize that when you look up, I'm there. Oh, help me somebody. He said that it's important because you must understand that I am God. And sometimes we make gods out of ourselves. So he said, Paul, you must understand that in your weakness, that's when you find out how awesome I really am. And then the other thing that he talks about is that in weakness, you also discover that God has this unique ability to make you better. Are you with me? When he talks to Paul here, you know the story. I mean, Paul said, Lord, I've been talking to you about this thing 3 times. I've been coming to you, and I'm concerned about my own spirituality now. And you know, you have to be concerned about your spirituality before you really can get closer to God. And Paul said, Lord, I've been wondering, why is it that you have put me on a table like this? Why is it that I'm lying here exposed for what I really never intended to be? And other folk are coming by looking at me and they're saying things about me. They know about me. And you do know, beloved God, I don't care what you think. Other folk do know. Amen. Look at your neighbor and ask him, do you know? Look at the other name and tell him, no, you don't know. Amen. Some of y'all glad to say that. Listen, I'm almost finished. He said, Lord, I'm here. He said, I've been asking you about this. He said, you know, it would do me good to be able to boast about this. He said, because, you know, some of us, you know, when folk discover our weaknesses, you know, we try to turn it around, you know, try to swell up a little bit like, you know, swell, you know, I ain't the only one. No, you're not. Come on now. No, he said, listen, if I could change this thing, you know, I would gladly, Lord, rather be able to boast in the fact that I have this weakness. You know, that way maybe I can make myself feel a little better myself. You know, some of us are good at self-therapy. Yeah, we've been doing it so long, Sister Foster, that we become experts in our field of self-therapy. Our arms have become elastic enough to pat ourselves on the back, to rub our own wounds and to bandage ourselves rather professionally so that no one will know we haven't been to the hospice yet. We bought our own crutches so we can limp our way through. We brought our own wheelchair so we can roll. But God is saying to us, listen. I need you to understand that I'm trying to work something out in your life. So when other folk have looked by you and found out what's wrong with you, he said, ultimately, I want them to be able to see what's really in you. Amen. Now that's where you get a chance. Now, if you're going to help, you better come on. He said, because it's not what's wrong with you. It's what's in you. And Paul said, and it's right here, he said, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I want to tell somebody today that without God, you're nothing. Are you with me? Without God, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand the preaching today. I want you to understand that everybody in here is honest enough to admit it, then we're going to be all right, that there is a problem with some of us. But I want you to understand before you leave here that the devil is a liar. That the power of God does dwell in you. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a trustee. You don't have to sing on the choir. You can be the quietest little saint in the house of God, but the power of God dwells in you. Oh, come on. You ought to praise God better than that. Listen. Okay, you don't see it yet. Let me make it clear. First of all, you must understand that the Lord requires that you be strengthened by the grace of God. Are you listening to me? It is by the grace. Now, grace does not come without effect. And grace doesn't come to those who don't need grace. Grace comes to those who have made some mistakes in their life. Grace comes to those who have fallen short of the expectancy of God. Grace comes to those who have sinned. Grace comes to those who have messed up. Grace comes to those who are backslidden. Grace comes to those who are cussing and drinking and swearing. Grace comes to those who need grace. You can't sit around and act like you don't need no grace. He said that it comes so that I may be demonstrated as a source of power in you. I want you to understand that the Lord said, without me, you don't have anything. Without God, blessings don't come like they used to. Without God, trouble will last always. Without God, weeping will endure all night and all day, and you'll cry till you can't cry no more. But the Bible said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I don't know how you understand it, but I understand that in order to renew my strength, I must have used up my strength. You ought to be honest with yourself and admit that you've got a weakness so that the renewal process can begin and the power of God will be revealed in you. I'm telling you to stop walking around with your head in the locks of your shoulders. The power of God dwells in you. So the point of it is this, that first of all, understand that the power of God is permanently established in the individual. Are you with me? It is permanently established because, firstly, it is the desire of God to dwell in man. The Bible said that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But if you back up and look at the Genesis letter, you will see that the Lord desired to create a being so that he may dwell in that individual. It is the essence of God, like I told those fellows on Tuesday, it is the essence of God that desires to make us what we will be in Christ Jesus. You can't make yourself what you ought to be in Christ Jesus. You can't be intellectual enough to ascend to the high place. You can't mess up enough to be relegated to the low place. But it is because the essence of God, because he created you with the process of perfection, that the power of God dwells in you. Are you listening to me? You cannot get so far out that God can't bring you in. You can't mess up enough to contradict the grace of God, because it was the desire of God to give you grace. He said, you must understand that the power of God, it is perfected in the individual. Don't you understand that Adam was no accident? Eve was just a pawn in the plan of God. Oh, I know some would say, well, Reverend, you know, why would the Lord do it that way? Let me tell you something. You can spend the rest of your life trying to figure out the whys of God. I'm just going to worship God. Amen. I'm past trying to figure out why God does anything, but I'm here to praise God for doing everything. Say amen, somebody. I'm telling you now that then I'm going to hurry up because some of y'all look kind of tired. The second thing is to understand that not only that, but it also indicates to me that there is a providential reason for my problem. Amen. I've come to learn to look at it and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to learn something from this. Amen. Look at your name and tell him, I'm going to learn something. Notice, I'm getting ready to sit down. Notice what he said, that the power dwells. And then, look, this, Paul goes on the next thing in verse 10. He said, Lord, based on that, I am well content with the weakness, the insult, the distress, the persecution. He said, for Christ's sake. I told you there's a providential reason you got a problem. See, what you've been thinking is that you got this problem just because of you. But what I've come to learn is that I've got my problem so that God would be glorified. I've got my problem so that if I'm really in the business that I say I'm in, if I'm really on the Lord's side, that I'm going to be able to gain some glory for God. I'm going to let folk talk about me. I'm going to let them roll their eyes. I'm going to let them point at me. I'm going to do all that. But you know what? Paul said, I'm going to keep my head up. I'm going to keep my chest out. I'm going to keep my shoulders back. He said, because I've come to learn that if I am content, then God is contented with me. Say amen, somebody. He said that I can be strong. I can be strong because I am full of the grace of God. Power dwelling. Notice God don't ever do anything halfway. Am I right about it? He said, I am filled with the grace of God in so much that because my cup hath run over, in so much as he has brought me up and put my feet on a rock and established me, in so much that he has washed me in the blood of Jesus, in so much that I am filled with the Holy Ghost, in so much that my anointing has fallen fresh on me, I have the full grace of God, and I know that grace will make a difference. I know that whatever I'm going through, grace will make a difference. I know that I've got my problems on one hand, but grace is on the other hand. I know that I've got my naysayers on one hand, but grace is on the other hand. I know that the judge is on one hand, but grace is on the other hand. I know that my distractors are lining up, but grace is on the other hand. And I'm so glad that the Lord said that whatever you're going through, my grace is sufficient. I'm trying to tell somebody that the last thing to understand is that God will provide because the grace of God is still sufficient. You haven't done anything nobody else hadn't done. It just so happens you happen to be on trial today. But the grace of God is still sufficient. You've got to learn that the power of God dwells in you. You've got to learn how to live by the power of your God so that you can stand in church on Sunday morning and wave your hand. You've got to learn that the power of God is dwelling in you so that you can still give your testimony, because the power of God still dwells in you. You better get back on the choir stand, because the power of God dwells in you. You better go back and teach your Sunday school class, because the power of God dwells in you. Put back on your usher's uniform and serve the Lord with gladness. You better go back and lift up your hand. You better go back and declare, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. I'm telling somebody this morning that it's not what's wrong with you, but it's what dwells on the inside. I'm so glad this morning that I've got something on the inside. I've got something on the inside that the world didn't give to me and the world can't take away. You're looking at what's wrong with me. You're looking at the wrong thing. When you look at my problems, you can see my power. When you look at my heartache, you can hear my hallelujah. When you see my tears, you can see my triumph. I
I'm so glad. I said I'm glad. I got a God in my life that'll look beyond my fault to meet my need. Ain't God alright? Ain't alright? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad. Yeah, when I call on the Lord, He'll hear my cry. When I call on the Lord, He'll rescue me. Is there anybody in the house? God ever rescued you? Were you sinking deep in sin? Were you tired and all alone in the midnight hour? But you call on the Lord. I say you call on the Lord. I say you threw out your white flag and call on the Lord. He heard your cry. Ain't God alright? Ain't He alright? He'll wipe away your tear. Ain't God alright? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. Friend don't understand. Family don't want to have nothing to do with you. But I know somebody. His name is Jesus. The Rose of Sharon. The Lily of the Valley. Ain't he alright? I got the power of the Lord. I feel my power. It'll make me walk right. I feel my power. It'll make me sing my song. I feel my power. It'll make me wave my hand. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and you can't take it away. I've got my joy, say yeah, yeah. Ain't God alright when I think about the love of Jesus, when I think how He rescued me, when I think how He picked me up and turned my life around, I get happy, I feel like running, see it, yeah, yeah.
It's the power that dwells in you and make it all right. You sitting around here feeling like you can't worship God. It's the power that dwells in you. Because God said, I'm there. Amen. He said, I am there. You've been trying to get it back. The Lord said, this is the day that you will come to the realization of who I am. And who I am is what will make you what you shall be. Bible said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. I told you a few weeks ago, you got to stop looking. We got a new recognition now. We're looking at folk differently. Because it does not appear. What you're looking at now is a project in the works. Oh, say amen, somebody. Yeah, you're looking at folk now, and you're gonna be astonished when you blink and look again, because the Lord said it doth not yet appear what you shall be. And I said to you, beloved of God, that whatever's wrong with you today, just turn it over to the Lord. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, turn it over to the Lord. It's not what's wrong with you, it's what's in you. See, if you got a God in you, you're going to be all right. Amen. You ain't got to wait. You ain't got to wait on nobody to pat you on your back. Ain't got to wait on nobody to sing your song. The Lord said, I am there. The doors of the church are open. We invite you to come. You're seeking a relationship with this God that we serve. We invite you to come. In the Old Testament of the Bible, when the Lord desired to use David, He took him, and he was perhaps the least likely candidate to be a future king.
The Bible says he was a rough looking fellow, just nothing that you would look at and say, yeah, that looks like king material. He was just a regular kid, you know, nothing about David at all. Matter of fact, when the man of God came down to speak with David's father, he had the sons come in one at a time. And in essence, he basically said, that's all you got? That's it? He said, well, you know, this son here, you know, he my firstborn, he, you know, being first meant something back then. He said, you know, it's this firstborn, it's got to be, no, it ain't him. He said, well, okay, next boy comes in, he said, well, you know, he got potential. I mean, you know, he's a little slow, you know. Nah. That's it. That's everybody. He said, well, you know, I got David, but can't be David. I mean, not David. David, you know, he just a little fella. He said, well, get him in here. And as he entered into the anointing that was his, the man of God said, yeah, that's him. What I'm trying to say to you this hour is that people look at you and they don't see nothing. You might as well admit it. They've been looking at you and they don't see nothing. You're the least likely to do anything. And you know, some of y'all done bought into that. Some of you've bought into that and you've allowed yourself to take too long to get to your place. But I'm here today to announce that whatever's wrong with you that they see, that's because they're looking on the outside. I'm encouraging your spirit today that the best of you is where the power dwells, on the inside. It's on the inside. And I'm saying to you today that if you have never accepted Him as Lord and Savior in your life, you ought to come today. Despite what anybody's going to say about you, because of who you are. It's not what you are right now that it's going to be the real story. That's not the real deal. It's what you shall become in Christ Jesus. You ought to come right now. I'm convinced of God. There is an anointing. If you would listen to me, if you would take Word of God seriously today, and then look at yourself seriously, you would have to say that this is an offer I cannot refuse. You don't have to know the whole Bible. You don't have to be able to go from Genesis to Revelation and quote everything. But what you must hear is this, that God loves you so much that He gave His Son Jesus to die for you. And that through the death of one, all men, women were saved. Now see, what you have to do is take the Word of God literally. Take it at its word. The Bible said that all were saved. I know that there are millions who are unsaved. But I believe that there are possibilities in God. And because you're here today, because you're under the sound of preaching, possibilities are there for you. In that you must understand that God desires to have you. Though hundreds, thousands may come, there's always room for one more. And if you've already accepted him as Lord and Savior in your life, and you've already been baptized in the waters of life, and you've fallen away, you have erred in living. And I say to you, my brother and my sister, that there but for the grace of God go I. All have sinned and come short. But isn't it good to know that there is a God who makes up the difference? You've been clawing at opportunity. You've been trying to do it your way. There's a God who will make up the difference. The word describes him as having outstretched arms and a heart of love. And he says, come unto me. He says, whosoever will, let him come. And I say to you that no matter what you have done, the invitation still exists for you. The opportunities are there. Paul said, I've learned to be content with the fact that for Christ's sake, I went through what I went through. Now, I don't want to mislead you. Some stuff we go through because we did it to ourselves. That's responsibility. You have to take responsibility for that. You know, some things that happened to us, we just did to ourselves. But even when we do it to ourselves, God says, my grace is sufficient. So if you are out there and you want to come back, the Lord says, I'm waiting. And no, you don't have to wait for nothing else. He says, I'm waiting today. Today, come on back. Then thirdly, today, if you're looking for a church home, you desire to be established in a church that's, oh, bless your heart. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, come on and praise the Lord. This is celebration time. Hallelujah. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? This is an invitation. I am convinced of God that he has made us unique for this time. If you're looking for a unique experience spiritually, we invite you to come. I want you to know that great is the Lord, and great is the people, are the people of the Lord. And as we build a greater church by building a greater people, we're standing on the shoulders of mothers like Mama C, Brother George Wynn. We're standing on their shoulders and reaching for the possibilities of becoming an awesome place to his glory. I know people are looking for a new thing. People are looking for a church that is spirit-filled. No hatred, no envy, no jealousy, backbiting. Folk rolling their eyes at you and not wanting to slide over to let you sit on the same pew. Folk are looking for a church that's on fire for the Lord. Not on fire because folk burning it down. They're looking for a church where, just as I am, without one plea, folk will still embrace me and tell me, baby, it's all right. Because where you are, I was. But he delivered me. You're looking for a church where, when somebody says, I love you, it means something. When somebody holds your hand, you don't have to worry about where the other hand is. They're looking. And I say that the Lord
told me that that's the kind of church that I'd better have. Because the Bible said that he's going to return. And he's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. Now, that we not misinterpret that. If you're looking for a church home, let me tell you something. Every church has to be that church. Somebody said that we ought not to be taking other folk members. I said to that, I said, well, when they left, they might have been members there. But we disciple them here. Because I read the word and the word said that it was the disciples of God that built the great church. The members didn't build anything. I didn't see the word. So we invite you to come. You're looking for a church home, we invite you to come. And I thank God for every one of you. I thank God for you because I am of the mindset that every person that comes through that door or that door has come to be a blessing to us. You're a blessing. Whoever you are, wherever you're from Forest, Virginia, you're a blessing. In the city of Lynchburg, you're a blessing. Whatever church you're a part of, you're a blessing. As we stand to our feet all over the house, we'll receive the report of the clerk and we want to praise God today for Sister Doris Garland who has come. Come on, let's. God bless you. God bless you. Sister Garland has come and she is coming to us from the Diamond Hill Church, and she's joining with us to be discipled here at the Brookville Church. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. She's coming and she's going to receive a letter from her church, and that's the right way to do it. Amen. And she's going to be here with us, and we expect great things for you. Not from you, just for you. Because we know that if we ask the Lord to give you great things, then great things will come from you. It's on us. When Jesus chose his disciples, can I teach you something for just a minute? When Jesus chose his disciples, he chose them because of what he was going to do for them. And that later they would do it for the church. So see, when folk come, you don't take folk for what they can give you. You take them and you become a part of that for what you want to give them. And then everybody gets blessed by it. When they took the five loaves and the fish, it wasn't what he took from them that made the difference. It was what he gave to them. See, God will take what little bit you have and he'll give it back to you and you won't even recognize it. Oh, help me somebody. Yeah. What little bit you had. You didn't think you had anything to give. You stand there saying, this is all I got. Lord said, give me that. And the Bible says he took it, blessed it, and it was multiplied. A word to you today, just because I need to tell you, is if you put it in God's hand, he'll bless it, multiply it, and give it back to you. That's bonus preaching today. We also praise God for Sister Henrietta Cox, who has been with us so long that we already called her one of our own. She's been with us so much so that she's got her favorite pew already. And we thank God for her. She's coming to us also from the Diamond Hill Church. And she's doing it right. I let her. We are blessed of God for both of you. And we have a little thing around here. We like to pair folk up with their partners so they don't be alone. when they come, and we don't want you to be alone. I know you, you know, you might have friends already, but I always do this little thing. I ask the Lord to give me somebody to give you. And that's not trying to say that you can't be friends with your old friends and none of that kind of stuff. But I always want God to give you somebody who's here with us already. So they'll make you feel comfortable, you know. When you go to visit folk and they tell you, take your shoes off, sit a spell, you know. Sometimes you're not sure you can do that. But see, when you see other folk in the house do it, you figure, well, it must be all right. Then everybody else do it. So we want to pair you up with somebody. Is that all right? Sister Maxine Reed, would you come on down here for me? Come on. They never know who it's going to be, so they all get tense for a little while. Amen. I want you to be with Sister Garland, Sister Reed. Y'all know each other? Well, I see that the Lord is so good. Amen. Amen. Sister Cox, I know you know everybody. Amen. A lot of them, yeah. But this is just going to be so easy for us. Sister Campbell is going to come. Gwen Campbell is going to come. Now, and you might already know Sister Campbell very well. But I want her to come because now she's coming, I can feel the anointing of the Lord moving in this place. Amen. Sister Campbell reminded me that Sister Cox has been in the women's Bible study for a long time. Amen. And maybe so. Amen. That is certainly why the Lord has given me the opportunity and the authority to choose Sister Campbell, because there is an acquaintance there. There's a kinship that's already been established. I believe that there's a bond of trust between them already because she's set under her teaching. One thing I'll tell you something. I'm going to let y'all go home. I know it's getting late. I say that when you see partnerships in your church, you ought to praise God for that. Yeah. Amen. Nobody wants to be alone. No. Nobody wants to be alone. So, Sister Reed and Sister Campbell, you know how we do things around here. We trust God for everything, and we trust God that you will embrace your sister and to make them know certainly the power of God that dwells in us all. And we say that if you have to make a phone call, Sister Reed got a phone, and she'll answer it. She liked to talk on the phone, I've been told. But listen, you know, we want you to know that you're home. There's no process and no voting and all that stuff, you know. Are you here? This is your house. And we thank God for you. And we want you to know we're glad to have you. We've been anticipating your arrival. But we thank God for you. Would you come and pray with us? We're going to go home. We're going to go home. And I want you to come on up. Yes, ma'am. Come on. Amen. Amen. We're talking about prayer in our Bible study classes. We're talking about power of prayer. And one of the things that we talked about on Thursday night, and I sent everybody home. But y'all remember what text y'all were supposed to remember? There you go. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And it says what? Pray without ceasing. I mean, Living Translation says always pray. King James says pray without ceasing. The International Version says pray continually. Revised Standard says pray continually. As you're standing here all around the altar for Sister Garland, Sister Cox, Sister Reed, Sister Campbell, Sister Parker, Tamar. Be back. Brother Art, Carl, Zelia, pray without ceasing. Amen.